Well, on the screen, you see a picture of a healthy family group. Here at our church, a small group Bible studies that meet in people's homes. We call them family groups. And this is a picture of one that appears to be pretty healthy. They're sitting around. Somebody has brought the snacks. Someone's brought the drinks. The Bibles are open. We would assume that they've either had a prayer time or will have a prayer time. But I want to paint a different picture for you of a family group. So imagine this with me as I describe it. You come to the person's home who is supposed to be hosting that night, your family group, and you knock on the door, and no one comes to the door. So you think, well, they probably didn't hear me, so I'll ring the doorbell. And you ring the doorbell, and no one comes, and you think, well, it's the right time, it's the right night. And I'm pretty sure they said they were hosting tonight, so you give it one more try, you knock a little louder, and finally someone comes to the door, and they open the door, and they say, what? And, well, you're hosting family group tonight, right? Oh, yeah, come on in. So you walk in, and they don't really say anything else to you, you're just kind of awkwardly standing in the kitchen area. And then other group members begin to arrive. Of course, all other group members are on time, just like you are. And that was a joke. And the person who was supposed to bring the food, because you usually stand around, you drink some things, and you eat some things, and the person who was supposed to bring the food didn't bring it that night, and they say, well, I just didn't have time, and I really didn't feel like bringing the food tonight, so I didn't. So you're like, okay, well, this isn't starting off very well. And then you gather in the living room in the circle that you usually do, and people take their usual seats. And it's supposed to be the time where you open up the Bible together and you start learning. And you look to the group leader who was supposed to be leading the Bible study, and there's this awkward silence about what's supposed to happen next. And they say, well, I didn't really feel like preparing a lesson this week, so I'm not going to. You're like, wow, this is getting really, really bad. So you move into the prayer time, and you share a prayer request, and the person in the group who usually has the gift of faith, and there's like, I'm going to believe God for you for that situation in your life. And they say, well, I'm really having a lot of doubts this week, so I'm not praying. And then another person in the group pipes up and says, you know, I've had a really discouraging week. And the person who usually has the gift of encouragement and is cheering people on, saying, you can do it, don't give up, God's going to come through for you. They say, well, I'm really discouraged this week too, so I'm not cheering anybody else up. Now, that's a pretty bleak picture of a family group meeting, isn't it? Now, thankfully, our family groups have a lot more excitement in them as far as being encouraged in your faith before you leave that house. But what went wrong in this make-believe scenario that I gave today? What went wrong is that no one was willing to or prepared to use their spiritual gifts to minister to others. They were just thinking of themselves and saying, I'm not using my gift tonight because I don't feel like it. Well, that is a wrong picture of what God is speaking to us about in this passage today. We saw it on the screen during the song from 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11, so you can turn there in your Bibles. And we're going to read that scripture together just as a quick reminder of what we saw earlier. And we're going to see today that we've been given spiritual gifts, we're to use them to serve others, and we're to use them to glorify God. So let's lift our voices and read 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 together. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, amen to that. Last week's message focused on the disposition of a servant. We're to see ourselves as servants, ready to serve God. And we talked more about the heart last week. Well, we're including all of that concept as we talk about this message today. Today's message is more about the hands of Jesus. We had the heart of Jesus last week. We're talking about the hands of Jesus. And we're putting our spiritual gifts into practice in order to serve others. Now, it's really wonderful, isn't it, when you serve in your sweet spot. You've heard it called the sweet spot. The sweet spot is when you have the heart of a servant, that is the heart of Jesus, and you're using your spiritual gifts, and it matches up with a passion of yours. So, for instance, we had our music team up here today. You know, those people have the heart of a servant, they've got the spiritual gifts of being able to lead in worship, and they've got the passion of music. And when all that comes together, there's great joy in serving, and there's also great joy that gets passed on to others because other people are built up in their faith when those three things happen. So today, let's talk about three realizations about serving with my spiritual gift or my spiritual gifts. Here's the first realization, and that is, as a believer, I've been given a spiritual gift. Now, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. Some have more, but all have at least one spiritual gift, and we'll define that here in just a few seconds. If you look there in your Bibles, verse 10 tells us very clearly, as each one has received a special gift. Has received, that's past tense. So it happened at a point in time. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or we might rather say when God saved you, and you exercised faith in Him bringing you to Himself, when you received the Holy Spirit at conversion, you also received spiritual gifts. This is a gift that God has given you and also to build up others. So we all have at least one spiritual gift. Some have multiple. We also need to see that spiritual gifts are not purchased. You can't redeem Kohl's cash or your air miles for spiritual gifts. They are given. You see that there in your Bible? You received the gift. This is outside of yourself. This is a passive verb. You are given the gift by no merit of your own. Spiritual gifts are not the same as your talents or abilities. They may be very closely related, but they're not the same. To help define this, I think of a dear old saint named Ernestine Carter, who I met back in Michigan. And she cleared this up in one of our classes once. Don't dear old saints have a way of doing that sometimes? They just clear the air and make the point, and we can move on now because we all understand. Well, Ernestine said this. She says, when we're born, we have talents and abilities. When we're born again, we get spiritual gifts. So these are spiritual endowments that are given to us by God for the good of His church. To edify us, but the purpose is to build up others. So each believer has a spiritual gift. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one the manifestation of the Spirit has been given. We'll complete that sentence a few points from now. So it is a gift. It's a gracious gift of God given to the believer for the building up of the church. That's what the word means. It's a grace gift. Now you'll also notice there in verse 10, at the very bottom, it says, the manifold grace of God. This means the multifaceted or multicolored grace of God. God has a huge inventory of grace that He gives to His children. That is expressed through Him giving spiritual gifts to believers. So there's multiple gifts that God can give. In your Bibles, there are four passages that explain spiritual gifts or make spiritual gifts lists. And they're listed there in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Those two are easy to remember because they are in the same chapter, the same number chapter. Ephesians 4 and then 1 Peter 4. So if you were interested in the spiritual gifts listed in the Bible, there they are. And I'll just leave that up there for you as I explain some of the gifts. So in Romans 12, we learn of those particular gifts listed there. And I'm just going to give a brief explanation of them all from my understanding scripturally. And then if you want more study, there are many resources that you can dig deeper on all of these. So you can ask me about those later. First of all, in Romans 12, we learn of the gift of service. The person with the gift of service loves to help people. Most often they're people who are, I don't want anybody to know about what's going on. I love to stay behind the scenes. So the gift of helps or the gift of service. The gift of teaching. Someone with the gift of teaching loves to dig into Scripture. They want to know what it means. And they have a passion of passing it on to others to explain why it means what it means. So if you find yourself digging in, you have to know. You may have the gift of teaching. The gift of exhortation or encouragement. This is the type of person who is just always encouraging. And, you know, I think of this illustration. There was a doctor back in Michigan, a believer, and they would say he was a pediatrician. They used to joke that moms would just make an appointment with him just to go in and get encouraged, even though their kid wasn't sick. He just had the gift of encouragement. You know, you're doing great. You're a great mom. And so people with the gift of encouragement can just give you wind in your sails when you're having a bad day. They can encourage you. Giving. People who have the gift of giving are very concerned with the proper use of resources and money. They want to make sure it gets used correctly for God, and they have great joy in giving. These are the people who are always saying, let's just give it away, let's just give it away, let's just give it away. And the people who like to hold on to money, it kind of drives them nuts, right? Because it's like, let's just give it, let's give to God's kingdom. Also the gift of leadership, people who can influence others. They tend to just lead people in the direction that God wants for them. There's also the gift of showing mercy. People who have, they can empathize with you. I've heard it said like this, if you're in the doctor's office in the waiting room and people just start talking to you about their problems, that might be a sign that you have the gift of mercy. You just are like a magnet for people who are hurting, and you can listen to them, and you have such a caring face, and you can do this a lot. Oh, yes, yes, I know. And you can empathize with people. And we need people in the body of Christ who can exercise that gift, don't we? So that's the gift of showing mercy. We get on to 1 Corinthians 12. We read of other gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. These, I believe, are people who have wisdom. They can take God's word, and just in a supernatural way, they can just tell you what to do in a certain situation where God's word in my situation now makes sense because I know what to do. They've got that wisdom. The word of knowledge, again, people who can understand Scripture in a very deep way. They understand Scripture, they know Scripture in an incredible manner. The gift of faith, people who can believe God. When everybody else is saying, oh, it's a lost cause, they're like, no, God's going to come through. Do you have that gift? You believe God even in the midst of difficult circumstances? Then there's the gifts of healing. Now, this is interesting in my learning over the years. Notice that it's plural. These are gifts of healing. This doesn't talk about a faith healer who can go out and make a lot of money from town to town. This is speaking of God visiting people at a certain time to answer their prayers to bring healing to people. So it's gifts of healing. There's certain moments where God uses certain people, either by their faith or by their prayers, to bring healing to someone. We know from Scripture God doesn't always heal for his particular reasons. And so we have to be very careful to take our show on the road because we've got the gift of healing. But in certain moments, God grants gifts of healing. Same thing with the gifts of miracles. God, in certain ways, works through people to do the unnatural or the unexpected. And notice they're miracles. Miracles, by definition, don't happen every day, or they don't happen every during a 30-minute program that you air week after week. They're miracles. They happen at certain times. But God, in special ways, uses certain people through their prayers, through their faith, to bring about a miracle. Gift of prophecy in our day, I believe, is the ability to preach, to take God's previously revealed truth in the Scripture and to make it shine, to shed light on the Scriptures, and to make it clear to people what it says and what we ought to do about it. The gift of discernment. People with the gift of discernment can see good and evil. They can see black and white. These are typically your black and white thinkers. Well, you might be thinking, well, I'm not sure. They're like, no, it's wrong. Or, no, this is what we're supposed to do. Black and white, discerning. We need people like that, especially when you're trying to sniff out false teaching. The people with the gift of discernment can say, there's just something not right about what they're teaching. Okay, we need that in the body of Christ. Then there's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Tongues just means different languages. a supernatural ability at a certain time to speak in an unknown language that you do not know. It's not like you took German class and you know German in and out. But God gives us at certain times for the proclamation of the gospel. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 14. And it has to be accompanied by the interpretation of tongues for it to be valid. Okay, so these are called miraculous gifts. I believe they're still active today. Because I can't say that God has said, all these gifts have ceased. No, that's not my personal conviction. Obviously, all gifts, whether teaching or these so-called miraculous gifts, need to be used in conjunction with what Scripture says about that. I know you have, some may have different convictions on that, but we all need to use it for the glory of Christ and for the edification of the Bible or the body. We get on to Ephesians 4. We learn of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Now, in this particular case, these are different offices given in the church, but they do represent different gifts too. We don't have apostles in our day as we did in the 12 apostles, because they saw the resurrection of Christ, they were with Christ. But people with the gift of apostleship can go out and start new works. They pioneer new works, and they go into hard places, and God uses them to bring about His work. Prophets, I touched on that already, with the gift of preaching. Evangelists, people who have a heart to see the lost one for Christ, and they're saying, let's get out of this place and go reach some people for Jesus. And they have a great ability given by God to be able to reach people by the proclamation of the gospel. And then there's people with the gift of pastoring or shepherding and teaching. Those people who have care over people's over the flock of God, they want to care for them. They want to see them grow in their faith. All right? Again, these are just very brief explanations of these gifts. We get to 1 Peter 4, which is our text for today, and it seems as if he's just grouping them into two major categories, speaking gifts and serving gifts. And so we'll see how all that plays out. All right, I have spewed forth much information upon you, so hopefully I have not lost you. But let me ask you this. Do you know your spiritual gift or gifts? We did a course here not too long ago to help us discern that. From the study I've done over the years, I would say my gifts are in evangelism and shepherding and teaching and mercy. Those are gifts that God has given me, not something I've manufactured and just like you. So if you do not know your gifts, or even for those of us who have a clear indication of what our gifts probably are, we should do these things. First of all, ask God through prayer. Say, God, I want to know what my spiritual gifts are. I want to serve in my sweet spot so that I can bring glory to you. What are my gifts? Begin to pray. Study these scriptures and think, yeah, I think I'm an evangelist, or I clearly have the gift of mercy. Another thing you can do is to ask others for feedback. When you have mature believers around you, you can say, when you hear me talk, or when you see me volunteer, what seems to rise to the surface in my life that you could say, I think that's your spiritual gift? Another thing you can do is experiment with ministry. You might join the middle school leadership team, and you could join that and say, yeah, this is where my heart is. Or you're like, I'm never going back there again. Just experiment. Begin to serve here, serve there, all that different things. And you say, yeah, I think that's where my sweet spot is. Or no, I don't think I have that gift. And another thing you can do is take a test. Now, spiritual gifts tests are not the end-all and be-all of everything, okay? But they're one indication amidst all these other things that the Holy Spirit uses to show us. I found a website this week called spiritualgiftstest.com. That's pretty clear. spiritualgiftstest.com. And that's one place you could go. Take a test and see how it might indicate and point you in the right direction, okay? So, what I want you to know from this, and I think the Holy Spirit wants us to know, is you have a gift. All right, great. So now what do I do with it? Well, that's number two. Realization number two. My gift is to be faithfully used to serve others. So let's look back there in our Bibles, and we'll see in verse 10 that we are to be good stewards of the grace that's been given to us. Serving God is a matter of obedience and good management of my gift. To be a steward means to be a manager, an administrator. So if you think of a company, an administrator is able to allocate the right resources to the right place at the right time. So they're able to oversee the big picture, and they manage the resources well. So just like in our own lives, we manage money well, we manage relationships well. When it comes to the spiritual realm, we want to manage the use of our spiritual gift in a proper way that brings glory to God. We don't want our spiritual gift to sit on the shelf and gain dust. All right, we want to put it into practice. Ephesians 4 tells us that we are to be trained by the leaders of the church in order to do the work of the ministry. And so sometimes what can happen is people say, well, that's what we have pastors for. They can go do the visits, or they can go do this. Well, no, that's not true. Biblically, pastors and other leaders are there to train the church body on how to do the work of service so that we can all be built up into maturity of our faith. And so here's what one writer wrote about this. He says, the practical aspect of this New Testament truth is that every believer is a full-time, called, gifted servant of Christ. The world will never be won and discipled by paid or ordained staff only. This is what's called in Scripture the priesthood of all believers. We're here to serve Christ, whether it's our vocation or not. Sometimes we need reminders about this, don't we? Use your gift, get going. You'll be happy to know that even Timothy in the Bible needed a push from his mentor, Paul. Paul told him in 1 Timothy 4, he says, don't neglect the spiritual gift within you. That's verse 14. 2 Timothy 1, he comes back to him again and says, for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. Timothy, use your gift. Don't let it sit there and get cracks in it. Use it in order to build up the body of Christ. So we have to realize that I must use my gift to play an important role in God's work, and that is to serve others. 1 Corinthians 12:7, I mentioned it earlier. It says, for to each one has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. For the common good, for the building up of others. So what it comes down to is, I need you, and you need me. We all need one another. You have gifts that I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. And when it comes together and you add everybody in, it's a big, beautiful, complete picture put together by God Himself, which is a wonderful truth. We should never have an egocentric, fame-seeking mindset when we use our spiritual gifts. The whole purpose is that you would benefit from the exercise of my gift, and I would benefit from the exercise of your gift in the body of Christ. All right, I want to make another point here. So take a deep breath and join me if I've lost you, okay? I heard a sermon on spiritual gifts once, and this is probably the best line I've ever heard on spiritual gifts. It helped me a lot. The pastor said, do not confuse prominence with significance. Don't confuse prominence with significance. And he used an illustration that I'm going to modify slightly. He says, think of our bodies. My nose, he said, is quite prominent. It's on my face. You can see it. But my nose isn't that significant. If my nose were cut off, I could still breathe. Okay? It's prominent, but not necessarily significant. He used another illustration, but I'm going to use this one. He talked about his heart being not prominent, but oh, so significant. I learned about another example this week, and it's called the hypothalamus gland. So allow Dr. Blair to speak to you here for a moment. The hypothalamus gland in our body is at the base of the brain. It's about the size of a pea or an almond, very small, but it's nicknamed the brain of the brain. It's not prominent at all. You can't even see it, but it is incredibly significant. God designed it to be responsible for a long list of functions, including maintaining the body's proper blood pressure, body temperature, body weight. It organizes and controls many complex emotions, feelings, and moods, hunger, appetite, food intake. When our hypothalamus gland is not working correctly, it disrupts all kinds of systems within our body. Not very prominent, but incredibly significant. All right, let's take that and apply that to the body of Christ. Since the Apostle Paul uses the picture of the human body to explain about the church body, we in the church shouldn't elevate the prominent gifts. Prominent gifts are like prophecy, preaching, evangelism, leadership, where people are out in front of others. We shouldn't elevate those as being, oh, those are the greatest gifts and the most important. But we need to understand that the less prominent gifts are just as significant. Think of it this way. What would have happened here this morning if the chair crew had decided, I don't want to be there today, I'm going to sleep in an extra 30 minutes? We'd only fit in half the chairs and they'd be all over the place and most people would leave because there's no comfortable seat and some people would be sitting on the floor. If the chair crew had not have decided to set up this week, man, we'd be in a mess. But everybody comes and it's set up and we never even think about it, right? How about this one? What if the brew crew had not have shown up this morning? Talk about cutting your church attendance in half. There's no coffee. I cannot concentrate. And so you don't think the brew crew is important? Oh man, just have them show up, not show up one day. What if the people didn't come in this week to set up crafts for our children's Sunday school? So when the teacher gets in there, there's no craft, and he or she is, I don't know what to do, I've got 10 minutes to fill, and there's no craft, you see? Just because it's not prominent doesn't mean it's not significant. And so don't ever think, well, I could never preach, or I could never evangelize like him or her. Well, you have a gift. Use it. Use it for the glory of Christ and the good of others. Here's the third realization, and that is my gift is to be used to the glory of God, to glorify God. In verse 11, Peter makes this very clear. He says, whoever speaks is to do so as one speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves should do so with the strength that God supplies, all to his glory. So he talks about speaking gifts and serving gifts. Let's unpack this a little bit. When he says, whoever speaks should speak as one speaking the very words of God, that ought to make us tremble in our shoes. This is a very important point that many people miss when seeking the celebrity status of being in front of people as a teacher. Listen, being in front of people is not the point of the ministry. That is a worldly model that says position equals significance rather than your disposition and how you carry yourself. I believe this next line very firmly, so I want you to listen closely. The Christian pulpit is not a place for personal or political opinion. It is a place for proclaiming the eternal truths of God's word. Listen, I don't care what your opinion is if it didn't come from the scriptures. And so any of us who get in front of people, whether children, Sunday school teachers, or youth group leaders, family group leaders, community group teachers, we had better only say what God has already said. And you know what that takes? That takes during the week when no one else is around and no one else is watching. You are in the scriptures and you're like, Lord, what does this mean? I've got to share a spiritual meal with your people this week. Would you visit me? And you wrestle with the Holy Spirit and you know what's in here and you know what it is for your own life. And then you can pass it on together to others. I think of Ezra 7:10. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. You learn it for yourself, you put it in your own life, and then you teach it to other people. And so when we have the gifts of speaking, we need to be very careful. We would do well to follow the example of Jesus in this way, and in all other ways, by the way. But John 12:49, Jesus says, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." Isn't that amazing? I say nothing of my own, but only what the Father downloads to me. And we have to operate that way. Don't think that just because I'm only teaching a small group of six people that you're not significant. You are transmitting the Word of God to others, and it will not return void. Paul said the same thing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Don't tell people what the newspaper said. Don't tell them what you think. Tell them what God has said in his word. Preach the word. And there's a famine in the land in our days of people who are not preaching the word. There's all kinds of words coming from their mouths, but it's not coming from the word of God. And we have to be also convicted about that. God is still speaking today. He also says about serving. We are speak as if speaking the very utterances of God. And serving. Serving with the strength that God provides. This word here, the word supplies, speaks of a continual supply of physical strength to complete the task. I thought of this illustration this week. It's like a fighter jet that's flying through the air on its mission. It's running low on fuel. And they send out that big fuel tanker, and it brings down this stem which goes into the fuel tank of the fighter pilot and of the fighter jet. And the jet is refueled and then able to continue on the mission. This is what God does for us, a continual supply of fuel to serve him. So if you're folding bulletins or writing an encouraging note to somebody and you're tired, you say, Lord, give me the strength to do this. Giving us the strength to carry out the work that he has called us to. And then the crescendo is the doxology here at the bottom of verse 11. So that in all things, whether we speak or whether we serve, God gets the glory through Christ. And so God, may it be that as I serve you, as I speak for you, that you get the fame and you get the credit and the spotlight is shone upon you. And after all is said and done, that people pay attention to you and they forget who even did anything up there that day. I'm often reminded of this when I step down out of the pulpit and think that sermon was a complete flop. And then someone will come up and say, man, I was really encouraged by that today. And then I am rebuked. And God says, it ain't about you anyways. God is glorified because his word will not return void. Because all glory and dominion and power belong to Christ forever. Amen? In the world, talents and abilities are used to glorify the person who has them. But spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, are to be used to put the spotlight on God. No one's name is going up in lights or on the marquee around here. It's all of what God is doing and what he wants to accomplish in our midst. And so today we've seen that we all have at least one spiritual gift. It's to be used faithfully. If it's been on the shelf, dust it off and put it into practice. It's to be used to serve others, and it's used to glorify God. Now, here's the reason, or a reason, why these realizations are important. So, in your Bibles, back in verse 7, Peter says, the end of all things is near. We continually have to remind ourselves about that. Life is not going to go on forever. Christ may come back now. We may go to him. Or everything will get all wrapped up when he does come back. So this tells us of the urgency. The time is short to make an eternal impact. Use the gifts that God has given us to work for him. It also speaks of accountability. As Christians, we will be evaluated for how we lived for Christ. All right, just this last illustration right from the words of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 25, I'm just going to summarize it. There are three servants who were given different amounts of monetary measure by their master. The master went away on a journey. He gave the first one 5 talents. Talents is a measurement of money. He gave the second one 2 talents, and he gave the third one 1 talent, according to their ability, the Bible says. When the master had returned, the first 2 servants had doubled the investment that the master had made with them. And he said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." The other person who received one talent took it, buried it in the ground. When the master came back, he went out, dug it up, and said, "Here's your talent back." And the master rightfully called that slave a wicked and lazy slave and banished him to outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you meet the Lord, I know this is true of me. God willing, it will be all the days of my life. When you meet the Lord, don't you want him to say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'm going to give you more. Enter into the joy of your master." I don't want to face Christ and have him say, "You are wicked and lazy. What were you doing down there?" I want that from the Lord. "You did a great job, Blair. You were faithful with what I asked you to do." So many of you served the Lord so very faithfully, and I'm thankful for you, and more importantly, the Lord is thankful for you. But if you aren't serving the Lord, I want to encourage you, get involved. Find out what your gifts are. There's many opportunities here at our church. There's many opportunities through ministries in the community. Serve and use your gift, and by God's grace, we will please the Lord. So, just as the Holy Spirit exhorts us through Peter, as you have received a gift, use it to serve others to God's glory. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the scriptures and the clarity that you have given us concerning spiritual gifts. And so, Jesus, I think of that story that you told about the master and the servants, and I pray that we would be faithful people who take whatever you've given us. We have varied gifts because they come from your grace. Help us, Lord, to know and to use the gifts you've given us. And I thank you that you've given the gifts to the body for the maturity of the body and the building of itself up in love. And this is all a spiritual work that you do. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless each one who faithfully uses their gifts. And I pray that those who may not be using their gifts at this time, you'd show them clearly what you'd like them to do. We love you, Lord, and we want all the credit to go back to you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.